Welcome to the back room of politics. Beyond the excitement of past and present issues dogging some MPs currently, there are the big issues that whoever is in government has to deal with. Since the early 1990s, Waitangi Treaty settlements and the place of the treaty in the unwritten constitutional arrangements of New Zealand, or Aotearoa, have been part of the political discussion, subject to government actions, or some would say inaction. Very recently, the subject of co-governance has risen to prominence, even though the concept and enactment of co-governance has been part of many treaty settlements for a very long time. Whether it's the Whanganui River, the Waikato River, the lake bed of Taupo, the lake bed of Te Waihoro, Ellesmere down in the south, or the various and many other areas of conservation estate, it has worked well. It is co-management. And the question is, where does that stand alongside co-governance? So what's made it vogue now? Is it the Māori Health Authority? Is it Three Waters and the proposals around that? Is it broadcasting spectrum and discussions of a $75 million Māori spectrum entity? Is it Māori seats provision on local authorities? And most recently, the right to appoint members to a local authority, in other words, ECAN, granted to Ngāi Tahu. The question then is, where is this all going to end? Where is it heading to? Is it just a natural progression of the state that we live in? And or is there an end state that we should be thinking about and looking to? Joining me in the back room of politics today is two gentlemen I've known for quite some time, whose views I respect, but have often differed with. So in no particular order, can I introduce the Honourable Willie Jackson and the Honourable Shane Jones and ask you gentlemen perhaps to say a few words by way of introduction. Willie.
Kia ora, Shane. Oh, look, it's really good to come and have a bit of a kōrero with you, Jerry, because we should be discussing these sort of things like this in a reasonable fashion. As you well know, I used to have a few shows similar to this, that you used to join them and you used to be on them, and so did Shane. And I think Kiwis should feel comfortable to discuss these types of things without being labeled racist or useless, or, you know, I mean, I might say useless in the house and all that sort of thing. But
you do.
Yeah. It's very hurtful, yeah. I do think, just to start off with, that your response to co-governance has been disgraceful, though.
We'll come to that.
Well, you asked, right?
This is the general introduction.
But it has been, given that you're a man of the people, as Shane Jones is, and given that co-governance was so much a part of the National Party ethos,
built by
your godfathers Doug Graham and Jim Bolger, and yet you betray them.
No, it's no walking away from that.
Anyway, kia ora.
Shane,
thank you for
say something quickly.
Kia ora. Janagwe, Willie.
Kia ora.
Jerry, you and I think it was 06 or 07, we were invited to go to America together. And we toured around and went to, and I'm not entirely sure if we got into the White House, but we went through Congress. So I remember very fondly that trip that you and I took as the co-chairs of the American, US, New Zealand Parliamentary Friendship Group. But these issues, how do you institutionalize the treaty? Where are we going with the remaining treaty settlements? I agree with Willie, they should be aired and discussed. And I look forward, mate, to giving you my 10 cents worth.
Good, thanks very much, Shane. Look, can I just put something to both of you that sort of got a slightly redneck flavour to it, which, you know, you've got to do that. So here you are, both of you, very strong in your Māori identity. Very strong for the views that you represent on behalf of people who have sent you to Parliament. But the two names, Jackson and Jones, indicate that at some point, some of the treaty partners got together in a way that led to your existence. So I'm just asking, you know, is there any tension in that view, or does that help you see things in a different way?
For anyone who knows a wee bit about my history, yourself included, Jerry, I had the privilege of learning our language, the Māori language, through my grandmother, through our church, the Anglican Church, on the Marae, and 5 years at St. Stephen's School. Sadly, my rugby playing ability did not rival my fluency in the reo, which meant that I never grew to great heights of like a totara tree. But the way I grew up in a little community, Awanui, not far from Kaitaia. Main members of our community were the Dalmatians, the children of the Dalmatian gum diggers, some of the original diggers. I'm part Dalmatian myself, but I've always been intensely proud of our Maori heritage and speak the language like I'm speaking it in English. I've just ended up on a slightly different ideological point where a lot of my colleagues, erstwhile colleagues and perhaps future colleagues in Parliament have on these issues, but it doesn't diminish one's pride or desire to see Maori do really well in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, you know, Shane actually, believe it or not, he's one of our best speakers of the language in the country. Creme de la creme is how I describe him. I'm just a get by type of speaker, learned the language, second language, and can do the business, but nothing like Mr. Jones, but so proud of our language. But I will say, like Shane Jackson, I'm proud of my other side too. My great grandfather came to New Zealand with the British Lions team, 1908, Fred Jackson, that's where the name came from. So I'm equally proud of that side. I do get disappointed with sometimes the sort of typecast stereotypes that come from the extremists who say, oh, you know, it's just all about, you know, the Māori takeover. Not at all. What I want and what I've always wanted, Jerry, is a partnership. And that seems to be a word that some people dispute. I know you absolutely support the partnership. You don't go down the Seymour nonsensical route about where does it say in the treaty there's a partnership, all that sort of rubbish, because we all know the cleverer people than us, the best judges in the world, have all said that there's partnerships, that a partnership exists. But I'm proud of both sides, Jerry, and proud to be Māori, but proud to be Kiwi.
That's a question, isn't it, around how's that partnership worked out? So the two things, co-management and co-governance, what's the difference? So if you look at all of those settlements that have been done so far, all those arrangements outside that have been put around at the moment, including Te Waihora down our way with Ngāi Tahu, which is, by the way, voluntary and no legislation around that, they're all about physical assets that do need particular care and do need particular inputs. And they, as I said before, they have worked well. It's not a lot of problems over them, even though, you know, people will point to, you know, some crazy behavior around the Uruwetas and stuff like that. Has worked.
Yeah.
And so what is the difference then between co-governance and co-management? And why is so co-governance suddenly so much in vogue and a worrying concept for so many people?
I think, well, it's a worrying concept for some of the people because irresponsible politicians like Seymour and some of yous, and I'm not saying you, but some of your crew ride along with it. You know, you ride along, you go along with the ride. You don't actually
That's not an answer.
I'm saying that the disinformation that is put out there.
Well, tell us what it is. I'd like to know.
Well, co-governance in general terms refers to shared control, decision-making, accountability. In a historic sense, we've had sort of rights and interests-based co-governance, right? What are we talking about in terms of rights and interest-based governance? We're talking about resources. You know, we're talking about the partnerships that you outlined at the start. You're talking about Ngāti Whātua. You're talking about Waikato River, you're talking about Tūwharetō. So those are the types of co-governance arrangements that you have supported and your government has supported. There's no debate there. The question is, this is where it comes in, can that be expanded to equity-based type co-governance areas? And I'm saying, well, yes, it can be. We should be flexible about this. If we are all committed, Jerry, to reducing the disparities, why wouldn't we change some of those co-governance, use some of those co-governance models in a flexible sense? Now, it doesn't have to be 50-50. You know, I'm not saying that. You guys are going, oh, yes, it's 50-50 that Jackson and Mahuta want to take it. Okay, what's wrong with having an equity-type model, as you've got in Far No Order, to try and reduce some of the disparities and use some of the principles of co-governance that you guys have set in place?
Would you agree with that? No, well, to a point.
Yeah.
The point would be, what is the outcome?
The outcome?
And the outcome is what was probably at the spear, because yeah. I don't think a separate Māori Health Authority is going to give you the outcome. But Shane, you might have a view.
Co-governance has become an incandescent issue since it entangled itself with Three Waters and probably the runanga, the Māori Health runanga. I think most Kiwis felt that it was not a threatening thing. It dealt with lakes and bits of land and co-management, and even when where we come from, the 90 Mile Beach. But once it was included, and unwisely in my view, into the reform of the ownership of the Three Waters, and it's been bought into health, then I think it went beyond, as we say up north, it went beyond Nuku Taurua, it went beyond the Rubicon, and there was no going back. And I think that's, this is something that Tariana, when she was with Labour, always wanted, and I argued against it. I felt that if you brought co-governance and sovereignty into the dispersal or the distribution of public fiscal resources as opposed to land and resources, you are going to have a hell of a fight on your hands. So I'm not surprised it's gone the way it has, Jerry.
Yeah, where has it actually gone to? That's the question that sits in my head too. So I'm happy to say that I don't support the Māori Health Authority, I think, because I'll tell you what, it's almost like saying that Māori haven't had or shouldn't have or whatever the same entitlement to good health services. Now, that should be basic. It should be, if there's a problem with that, then deal with the problem. Don't start a new organisation, a whole new structure, because I don't think that'll change anything, quite frankly.
We've tried to deal with it. You've had a Waitangi tribunal who said that health is catastrophic. So we need something new. This is what the tribunal said. We need our own way of doing things. We need our own entity. And that's why this new health authority has come about. It's like Three Waters. Shane's talking a load of rubbish in terms of Three Waters. They've made it all about conspiracy again. Shane, you know this. Oh, the Maori's going to take over. The ownership is not under question. You know local body better than anyone, Jerry Brownlee. How much is it going to take to fix up infrastructure, to fix up water? This is about water. This is about people getting poisoned.
Yeah,
this is about people dying.
But here's the deal.
No, the Maoris are not taking over.
No.
And you guys have twisted it and turned it that way. Shame on you. And then now you get Jonesy to buy into it.
No.
He knows. This is not a Māori takeover. Stop running the conspiracy theories. It's about clean drinking water for Māori and Pākehā people.
Exactly.
That's what it's
so
about.
The question is, why do we have these problems? And it's because there hasn't been the money available to invest in that infrastructure.
And how much money do we need?
You're probably going to need $9 billion is the estimate over the next 25 years. That's a manageable sum. Why isn't it that there is? We've already got the name has escaped me. The new entity that is about standards and provision of water, right? I won't say its name because I'll butcher it. I don't want to do that.
Well, you like it when you speak Māori.
Yeah.
We're not like Tipperary.
No, not always. So I once got severely beaten up for getting my bells wrong. Anyway, my point is, there's nothing wrong with having the standards organisation. But if a local council, a small council, can't come up to speed because they don't have a rating base that's big enough to do it, why not find financial instruments that'll let them do it? But this idea that you say, okay, now, well, we're going to have these big entities and we're going to have a percentage of Māori involved in the governance of it, et cetera, which is what it says.
You guys, you've twisted this.
No, we haven't.
No,
we haven't. We're just saying to you,
what
is the point? If you go back and say it's about having good quality water,
absolutely,
good management of the runoff water and good management of sewage.
That's what it's all about.
That's the, well, then find
it's about the infrastructure.
Find the instruments that make it happen.
We have.
Don't set up bureaucracy.
We've been consulting about this for 4 years under your good minister, Ann Tully. Ann was terrific. Well, that's why we support it. We started this. This is about Māori having a say. You guys have made it about a Māori takeover.
We didn't ever start. We never talked.
You don't want to talk about the pipes.
We never talked about What we should be talking about the pipes.
You don't want to talk about people getting sick and dying.
Oh, okay, come back. Okay, come back.
You don't want to talk about untreated sewage, do you? You just want to talk about the Maoris. That's all you want to talk about.
That's not true.
That's all you guys have talked
about. Okay, now, Jerry. Sorry.
Yeah, you better say something. You're getting shut out of the conversation, Shane.
At the core, mate, this is a debate about ideology. And we should all debate ideology. Just because you and I disagree, just because we have different perspectives, that's how the system works. Whether Willie likes it or not, once we introduced, and it was clumsily done, and it would never have happened had I had any influence over the issue. They have tried to resolve the unsubstantiated rights that Maori may have in the ownership of water. They've tried to deal with it partially through introducing Maori governance into Three Waters. I can tell you now, it will never work. And I can tell you that once there's a change of government, there will, in the first 100 days, that will be gone.
The ownership of water services entities stays 100% with councils.
Oh, come on.
At 100% with councils. On. You know this. The biggest threat to us is the privatisation and asset sales from your mates in ACT, who I hope you're not going to support.
Do you know something?
I do.
This is what really winds me up. I've heard you and the Prime Minister and everyone else say, oh, when it comes to Three Waters, the assets will remain with the local authorities. But they can't do anything with them. It's like, it's worse than the Silver Forest of the South Island, which South Island Landless Natives Act, things like that. It's almost a reverse of some of the injustices that have gone on in the past.
Do you really believe the Maori side of it is the biggest issue with this Three Waters?
You guys have tested it. If it wasn't, then why would you go about setting up these three new entities? Why wouldn't you have a structure that lets small local authorities access the funding they need to come up to the standard and certainly have influence from Māori inside that standard setting? I don't have a problem with that, but I do with this new structure.
Why wouldn't you partner with Māori? Why wouldn't you partner? Why have you got this aversion to partnering with Māori? I mean, wouldn't Ngaitahu be a great partner in the South?
Ngaitahu,
they've got so many resources, so much funding, the debt is going to be so huge, and yet you guys are all twisted and broken.
That's where you look at it from my perspective.
Yeah.
If I look at my city, Christchurch, Ōtautahu, right? We've got fantastic facilities there, and post-earthquakes, an amazing infrastructure for water. It's worth $7 billion. The government is saying, well, you can hold it, but you can never use it. You can never make a decision about it. That'll be made elsewhere by other people. And you've got to say, well, why is that fair?
Yeah, but worse than that, Jerry, these new corporations, sadly, they'll be worse than what is represented in the form of the super city. They'll be accountable to no one. You will have some directors appointed by an amorphous group of probably 50%, I'm told, of the iwi or in the area or local government. Those directors will then employ staff, and those staff will be accountable to absolutely no one other than the directors. And who are the directors accountable to? They're not going to be accountable to the current owners. And I think really the Māori co-governance dimension of Three Waters is a source of irritation to me personally, but the deeper failing of this is actually these large corporations that will have no accountability. Now, the reason the government's doing this, Jerry, and it's a debatable point, is to enable those corporations to actually raise debt to deal with the problem that, according to the Prime Minister, is $160 billion large. And it's based on the Scottish model, which Nanaia endeavoured to explain to Winston and I some time ago. But at no time did Nanaia and Willie ever share with us that they were going to give 50% of the governance of these corporations to Ngaitahu and Tainui, because we will never, ever agree to that.
Right. You're a disappointment to your people, Shane Jones. $185 billion actually is the bill over the next 30 years, Jerry. So councils are currently spending about $1.4 billion a year upgrading water services. So they should be spending $6 billion a year. So, you know, I think... I think. Can I just finish? Because I've been overwhelmed by you and Shane here. In terms of the local voice will always be crucial. Sub-regional advisory panels and consumer forums are a new feature of the bill. It means councils in Hawke's Bay, South Taranaki, Otago, Southland, they've got a great way of being heard. So everyone will be heard here. Everyone will be heard here, and I think that's the problem. You and Shane Jones and others are saying, "Oh, this is the big Māori are not going to own anything, but they're going to play a part in democracy."
What you've just told us,
which you're sadly trying to keep them out.
Yeah, what you've just told us is that for many local authorities, where they can meet the standards of the new water standards entity, they're going to have to pay higher amounts for their water to subsidise those who haven't, and that's a problem.
Public ownership is a bottom line for us in Labor.
It is shifting responsibility from central government onto local communities via this entity. These series of entities, they're not good. But look, can we move on? Because we're not going to agree on that. So we're going to come up with this other thing. So in the concept of co-governance, Willie, probably you more than anybody else has raised this issue of the changes in democracy. I think you described it as we no longer live with tyranny of the majority. And I think Grant Robertson, Deputy Prime Minister, said, well, New Zealand should be proud of the way democracy was being adjusted to ensure better outcomes for Māori. No one would mind or would have an argument about better outcomes for Māori, right? But adjusting democracy is a really weird sort of way to go about it. And I think we need to understand exactly where the government's going on this. You're about to bring down a document, I think.
United Nations Declaration. Yeah.
No, you're talking about a draft declaration, the goal of Māori in terms of partnership, co-governance, and Te Aronga.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean?
Well, so you're asking about the changes in democracy? Is that what you're saying?
How do you think it through? Because it's sort of, well, to my way of thinking, it's what the Treaty of Waitangi guaranteed us all was that we live peaceably. We've heard that so often.
Now, in partnership?
Well,
you disagree with all the best judges in the world.
No, I don't disagree with the best judges. Like Seymour.
Well, Seymour disagrees.
He's not one of the best judges.
Every judge from the Privy Council to the Supreme Court.
They've said
a partnership exists.
You're getting hung up on the word. Yeah. I'm just asking you.
What's this new democracy? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying what it is. What you said it's not what I said it is.
Well, I think that with very much pre-MMP, it was very much just one man, one vote. It's still an important value of democracy, no doubt about that. Things changed a lot after 1996, when Winston chose Bulger as the new leader, and change, there were changes all the way through. What the new democracy brought us was more Māori, more Pacifica, more ethnic people, more women. You know, what the democracy brought us were opportunities that we could never ever believe could happen. We had Winston Peters choosing the government, for goodness sake. We had National getting 44% and Labor getting 37% and Labor becoming the government. That's what a new democracy is about. We had you guys rorting the system and putting Seymour and Hyde into Epsom. That, you could never do that in the old democracy. You remember that when you rorted the system and you gave the wink to the local people in Epsom and you said, you can't remember that. That's what you call a new democracy. Deals are done all the time. What happens in the new democracy, different to the majoritarian style, is that consensus had to come in. Diversity had to come in. Compromise had to come in. All of those values have been used by all parties to further themselves. And I think anybody who says a new democracy hasn't come in is a fool. Finlayson agreed with me on Saturday on Q&A.
Harshly.
But you guys also try to say it's one man, one vote. Of course it is. But it's also much more. It's about diversity. It's about choosing. Look, did you ever think you wouldn't be the government when you got 44% on that night? You thought you were back in as the Foreign Affairs Minister, and his mate, Winston Peters, chose us at 37%. That's what a new democracy is all about. And Māori and the treaty have to be part of that new democracy.
Okay, Jerry. Well, if I just follow on from what Willie said, sadly, I'm unemployed as a consequence of that engagement. I'm going to do a deep dive in this thing. If you want to participate in democratic political institutions, have we reached a point where you no longer do it on the basis of universal franchise. You no longer do it on the basis of an open debate, but rather you do it on the basis akin perhaps to the House of Lords, where you are appointed to those political democratic institutions. And I think what Kiwis probably don't understand, but they're going to recoil from, Jerry, is the notion that we're going to have a new type of political institution where men and women have not been through the process of a universal franchise. Now, we have Māori seats. Now we've got Māori wards. How long they exist, time will tell. But at least everyone's turning out to have a crack and have a vote. Now, on the question of co-governance, though, I think what has confused people and what I myself partly don't understand is why is the co-governance model based on an appointed model whilst everyone has to go through a voting model? And that's what Willie is saying. Willie is saying this is the new evolution. Well, to do that evolution, you're going to have to stand in front of 5 million New Zealanders and get permission from them. And the prospects of you securing that permission, Willie, is diminishing by the day the closer you get to releasing your results of the Pua Pua report.
I think that Shane does raise some interesting points. I mean,
what about me? Did you agree with anything I see?
I agree with the history. Yeah, that's a fact. And
we do have a new democracy, don't we?
Well, you've got to say, what you're really making a case for, Willie, is go back to first past the post. And I know you'd be there quick as
thought. I just say, get with it and stop denying the obvious.
No, hang on.
This is
a new
democracy. It's a new thing happening.
No. There are consequences of any democratic election. Consequences.
Yes, that's true.
And according to the system, we have an MEP system. That's so true. Everything that you talked of is a consequence of that system. Hmm. I'm not convinced, though.
It's a new democracy, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's not a new democracy.
No, of course it's not. It is simply democracy. And what you're, on the other hand, saying is, okay, well, now, because if we've had this, we have MEP as an electoral tool,
yeah,
that in everything we do, we've now got to try and accommodate all these other views, but specifically, we've got to accommodate, you would say, a particularly strong Māori view as well. And I'm not sure that that's reasonable in all cases.
Everything I've said, you probably agree with, apart from the Māori.
I can't disagree with history.
No, but the reality is MMP gave us a new type of democracy. I think that's absolutely indisputable. MMP, would you agree, is much more than one person, one vote. We agreed?
Well, MMP is still one person, one vote.
But that's not the only value of MMP.
But then the tyranny of MMP, and you use the word tyranny.
Tyranny of the majority.
Yeah, is that that once an election is conducted,
right,
beyond the will of the voters,
yes,
expressed by way of majority,
yes,
politicians individually can make decisions.
That's right. Like your Prime Minister, right? He understood, your former Prime Minister, I should say, John Key, he understood the new democracy, right? He won. He was part of government. He won. He didn't need the Māori Party. He knew that part of this new democracy is forming relationships, understanding consensus, understanding diversity, understanding the new New Zealand. So he formed a relationship with the Māori Party. Good on him. That was one good deal. And then he did his dirty rotten deal in Epsom, right? You know that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There isn't nothing wrong with that. But when Māori try and do deals, you guys all jump up and down. Now, I say that Māori are entitled.
No.
Can I just finish and then you go? Māori are able to do deals and should do deals because it's part of the whole treaty area where we are partners. How do we treat that relationship with the treaty? We're able to, at times, have relationships or have appointments that don't have to go through the normal democracy process. You agreed with that in Ngaitahu when you guys supported initially the two appointments to the ECAN board. You guys initially supported that change in democracy, supported by John Key and yourselves. Then you get behind in the polls and you have a change in terms of strategy. You supported it.
I want to explain.
Yes or no?
No, we didn't. The way you characterised it.
But you did support it initially.
What we did was actually overturn democracy. We said, look, the democratically elected council down there are making complete hash. Interesting, it was the water issue that it was based on, because they hadn't brought down a water plan for Canterbury. in some 20-odd years, and they couldn't agree on it. So they were given the heave on that basis, and we brought in commissioners. When you're dispensing with democracy, then I think you've got to go and look at the representation as wide as you can. And the two people that were put on there on that as commissioners from Ngāi who were both had particular expertise, were extremely useful over that time. There's a lot of people in Canterbury, frankly, who'd go back to that
system. So have we got it wrong?
I think you've got it wrong.
Sir Tipene, I actually went and met with Sir Tipene. Yep. He won the New Zealander of the Year. He's got more degrees than the three of us, or brains than the three of us put together. He said to me democracy wasn't working for them, working for them. He said they need Ngāi Tahu people on there. Well, he won the New Zealander of the Year. You don't respect him?
I do respect him enormously.
He's wrong though on this?
No, and I enjoy...
He's not wrong.
I enjoy talking with him all the time. Anytime I have the opportunity, I've got enormous respect for the man.
He asked me to support this. He said, Jerry might go along with it. He's conflicted. I noticed that in your speech. You were twisted. You're a bit broken.
Can I have a word in sideways? Remember, I've got the... I can edit it.
You can edit it.
Here's the thing. I think when you're talking about setting aside democracy, then you go for wider representation. And what is fascinating to me is... I'm not Māori. I'm not Ngāi Tahu. Sixth generation New Zealander with no other country in the world to call my home. So I feel like I've got an interest here that sometimes feels like that's being denied a little bit. And that's why I started out with that first question about the surnames and the ancestry and all the rest of it. But look, if there, when Sir Tipene says, well, democracy's not working for us, they've never put up a Ngāi Tahu candidate with the full expectation that the whole 99, or in case of Canterbury, 19,000 Ngāi Tahu registered members would vote for that person. They know that those votes have gone all sorts of directions because Ngāi Tahu people, like my relatives, have different views about all sorts of things. So you're asking for something that is actually quite different to what a democratic process
is. He doesn't trust the system. This is an 82-year-old, very learned, and fantastic New Zealander.
I
agree, Jerry, Willie, that Sir Tipene is a man of great mana. Without Sir Tipene, there would be no Ngāi Tahu settled. No. Without Sir Tipene, there would be no Ngāi Tahu as we know it today. But Jerry, Willie, what we're going to come back to is October, November next year. Willie, you're going to have to put forward a program and justify the changes that you're keen to roll out. And I understand all those changes. But when you look at it in the broader context, the sense is that too many of these changes have been done furtively. Nanaia was never upfront with her Te Puapua agenda. Nanaia did not do a good job justifying why co-governance and mana whenua, Māori dimension, had to be put into three waters. And what people have recoiled against is less the Māori identity, but it's the very sneaky and almost duplicitous way in which these things have been introduced. Now, that in itself is a debatable political point, and that's why, though, Jerry, I think that as time goes on, a lot of these initiatives, they're going to be reversed unless people feel comfortable with them and people believe that they are doing it together and it's not being done to them. And I think that's the real problem with advancing further in the direction of Te Puapua, whatever Willie wants to do with Te Puapua, that's happening. And that's not an assault on Māori identity, but it's something that's gone horribly wrong with the way in which Nanaia tried to sneak these things through.
A view that somehow structures can change things in people's lives, and I don't accept that. I think looking at problems and then collectively working out how you solve those problems, because nothing's ever perfect, is the way forward. I'm not sure that just saying, well, it's a new democracy, so therefore we do this and we do this and we do this, is going to work for people. I don't think it's going to work.
I think it can work if I can get people like you, who's a very reasonable bloke, and got a good head on stuff, and is, you've had senior positions in this place. I can get guys like you around it. You see, we already know that rights, right and interest-based co-governance can work, right? I think you and I all agreed on that. I think the challenge is, can we apply co-governance models across society, Jerry? That's where you're saying, oh, I don't know, we just want to keep it with the resource.
Let me finish.
Because that's what I'm saying is, can we, you know, I'm saying co-governance should be more than just about the sky, the lakes, the mountains. Why can't we have equity-based co-governance too? So let's try and partner up in areas where Māori are miles behind. Doesn't have to be 50-50, Jerry. Sometimes just a Māori voice or a couple of Māori would help you where you are in your area and give you a bit of a Māori perspective, a Māori view. I'm not of the view that everything has to be 50-50. You guys have tried to paint me that way. But I'm saying obviously on the resources side and when we're talking about, you know, settlements, but that's the norm. But in wider society, why wouldn't you try and get a Māori perspective, a Māori view, a Māori type of co-governance going? Could only help that different community, can't it? And so I'm saying we can have equity-based co-governance, and we need people like you on top of it and supporting that. Why wouldn't you support that if we've got a huge disparity with Māori in health or education or whatever? Why wouldn't you try and partner up with Māori to try and reduce that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and talking about it. And I've already said that, you know, we were very open to having Māori voices and all sorts of activities.
No
problem with that. Yeah. But what you're stepping it one step further, a massive step further.
No.
And you're saying that actually the whole democracy must change
in
order
changed.
To achieve these.
It's already changed.
It has not changed
has
the extent that you're claiming.
It's changed hugely.
Not to the extent.
And you're rejecting that. It's only when it comes to Maoris.
No.
You guys jump up.
No.
Yeah. Here's the note. I've already given you a list of examples of where the change is.
Stop categorizing me in the way that you are. It's not right.
Well, I've told
fair.
You, it's more.
I'll tell you what.
More Pacifica, more Rastafarians. You have dirty, rotten deals in Epsom.
These are natural choices that will be made by voters, not by a system that demands it. And I think that's the heart of it.
Here's the key.
Shane is absolutely
no,
right.
No, but here's the key part, and this is what I put to both of you. How does the treaty become an integral part of democracy? You see, that's what I was reading one of Goldie's press releases, and he goes, now the treaty is part of democracy. I say that it is. Key said that it was. It's just how is it part of democracy? That's what we all have to.
And that's the big question. So look,
would we agree on that?
Final words.
Yeah, no, no. Willie uncharacteristically has made sense at the end of this interview. He's actually saying, to the extent that modern-day Kiwis want to take the treaty any further, how do you actually institutionalise it?
Yeah.
Now, I spent a lot of my time when I was a youngster jumping up and down and advocating and fighting for those rights. But I really feel that what political capital Māori have in Parliament and political parties, we have far more pressing issues than whether or not the treaty can be contorted into the health system, into the social welfare system. When I look at the flagging statistics blighting too many of our families, it's probably why I've ended up in a different space at the from where Willie is in terms of this interview, that unless you can really take people along with you, you can either shock them, and I think by creating a Māori runanga and giving it the authority to have 50% control over the $20 billion or $15 or $18 billion health budget is shock therapy. Sadly for Willie, it's going to be a shocking result rejecting that at the next election.
Okay, look, can I thank you both for your time?
And well, don't get a last say.
You've had the last say. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
I'll come back.
Firstly, I think you've... but it's been a good discussion. It's worthwhile. I hope people listening to it get something out of it. But can I just say, Willie, you know, you did characterise it well at the end where you asked that question. And I just want to finish on a paraphrase quote from your uncle, Moana Jackson, who was a very interesting character in my view. I've watched what he did over the years, the late Moana Jackson. And he said that, gentleness and bravery belong together. You can walk softly in the domain of tumatuinga, and that the mind is a weapon, but it must always be used with great respect for the views of the parties that are involved in any discussion. So I thank you all three for the two of you. There's all three of us. I thank all three of us for the way in which we've been able to have this discussion today. There's little doubt that this country's new identity is increasingly formed in the light of the tangata whenua history of this country. And it's that part, in my view, is for the better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry.